Welcome to Proverbs for the day, May the 7th. Puts us in Proverbs chapter 7. Fifth month of the year is May. So we're in Proverbs chapter 7, verses 10, 11, and 12. The context, of course, begins in verse 6 at the paragraph mark. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. We know if we read on that she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows, therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield, and with the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. That was verses 6 through 23. Now in the time allotted each day, of course, we are taking a certain part of it. Context is important. And I need to try to confine my comments and the devotional side of this to the direct context of verses 10 to 12. And there are many other things we'll say about in the months to come regarding this incident, regarding what it's about. You should take note of the fact that she says, let us solace ourselves with loves in verse 18. Let us take our fill of love. This is where the world calls sex. Physical relations between men and women, they call it love. And so the King James Bible is up to date. Don't let anybody tell you it's not. You wouldn't want to get any more graphic than the King James Bible. If you're ever testifying, don't get any more graphic than your King James Bible. If you're going to give a witness, if you're going to describe something or preach, just don't get any more. You remember when he killed the guy and it says his guts spilled out in the road and they covered it up with a sheet? That's plenty graphic enough. The world would have you to think that you got to get more graphic than your Bible. The Bible teaches us how to talk. The Bible teaches us how graphic to be. Okay, to our passage. These passages are not an accident. And of course, the application can be to a youth, to a teen, to a 30-something. But in reality, by the testimony of those who've gone on before us, the older face youthful lust. They don't face youth, but they face youthful lust also. And here, there's something significant in the wording here, and we're going to talk about the physical, sensual, earthly context, and then we're also going to talk about the fact that it has a very clear spiritual, ecclesiastical, kingdom of God application with it. In verse 9, notice he says, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. You know, the Lord Jesus said men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And at the same time, there are times of moral and spiritual darkness and blackness. And at those times, it is especially important to remember that during those times, there's been much falling away from the truth. You could live in a time of great technology. You could live in a time where people could travel the earth in a matter of hours. You could live in a time when there are many conveniences and appliances. And yet, it'd be a very dark and black time. If it's always darkest before the dawn, and we believe it's about time for the day to dawn and the day star to rise, then of course we know that we live in dark times. What can we learn from this in a practical place? Notice in the twilight and evening. He passed through the street, verse 8, in the twilight, and then there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot. First of all, people need to be at home at night, especially young people. You know, many of you parents have bought into the fact that your young people need to have be able to text all night, watch visual images all night. Now look, taking your teenagers and having an all-night lockup and playing sport and preaching to them and feeding them some pizza, that's totally different. But you know, America has been described for many years, and especially now, as a country that is sleep-deprived. And that is because Americans have not learned that He giveth His beloved sleep, and they have not learned the discipline of themselves. And I'm just here to tell you that your young people need to be at home at night. Do you know that that's one of the greatest conflicts between parents and young people is making them stay home at night? And yet that's what God wants us to do. Now, have Bible classes for them. You say, oh, well, young people don't want... Well, then how come Samuel came out so good starting as a child taking his Bible courses? If you're not careful, you're throwing this Bible out the window through mere pragmatism. And pragmatism is that ridiculous statement that, well, it works for me. It doesn't work if it doesn't work the work of God. So young people need to be at home at night. Secondly, notice this woman, she has the attire of an harlot. The attire of an harlot. Now, we could literally spend a couple hours here, okay? But I want you to understand something. The attire of an harlot means that in the right circumstances, when people did not have to be politically correct or socially correct, they would say, that looks like someone who'd be a harlot. You know, many of you parents are missing it. And mothers, for what it's worth, I hope you're listening to May 8th after this, but anyway, many of you are missing the boat. You have completely, absolutely lost the plot. Your job is to help them be discreet. Keepers at home. You say, well, what if they happen to have to work? You know, the idea isn't, listen, if you'll get rid of all your appliances and build up some back and arm and hand muscles, you know, beating those clothes on a rock or on a washboard like my grandmother did or in the wringer washer, well, then you'd probably appreciate life more. But the problem we have today is it's all convoluted. Give me all the appliances and then, you know, send me to the mall. And God says, no, that's upside down. Nobody said don't go shopping and all that. Don't try that. Come on. Here's my point. The job, the responsibility of parents and mothers is to teach and be an example and model all the things that make for a right, proper woman and lady. So the attire of an harlot. She has the attire of a harlot. Okay? She's not even a harlot. You say, what would that do? It attracts attention. It communicates intention. It fascinates imagination. It lures by invitation. There is in society today, and you are just literally denying what you know in your heart to be true, if you think that letting these young girls dress like they do, that they are not teaching them to get a buzz off of attention. You say, well, I'm not teaching her to be a harlot. No, no. But can I give you a verse? And we'll preach on this soon, but 1 Timothy chapter 5. Please, please. I mean, look, if what I'm saying is foolishness, the Holy Spirit will explain it away. But it's not foolishness. She that liveth in pleasure, 1 Timothy 5, 6, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Do you know who Paul's talking about? He's talking about young widows. He's talking about a young widow. They didn't have life insurance policies in those days, but they had some situations of inheritance and stuff. You know what he's saying? He's saying it'd be real easy if the church, as it did in the first century church, if the church took over responsibility for these young widows and they had them a pension and they didn't have to, he said they'd become busybodies and et cetera, et cetera. He said the problem is they would begin to live in pleasure. You see, if you teach your daughters to live in pleasure, If you teach them that pleasure is their right, you're creating a horrible situation, a monster. You say, well, these are supposed to be devotions. They are. This is devotional. This is help you and your daughters be devoted. Fathers, dads, you're supposed to help here. Now, I understand, dads. I understand that if you're not backed up by the woman, then, of course, the daughter just thinks you're crazy most of the time. But, dads, you can't give in. But ladies, women, Christians, you need to take somebody's else's opinion, a man's opinion, about what is the attire of a harlot. What does this clothing communicate? What does it do? What is behind it? It wouldn't matter. Now, wait. What if your whole neighborhood turned into harlots? Are you going to turn into one? What if all the women in the church became harlots? Are you? Then why dress like one? Amen. You know, all this rodeo stuff today, flirt and all this stuff. No. They're supposed to be chaste, discreet. And as I've mentioned before, those words, go look up the synonyms. One of the synonyms of discreet and chaste for both words is restrained. The power to do something is not the right to do it. Do you know, dear Christian woman, do you know what the attire of an harlot is? What is meant to attract attention, communicate intention, fascinate imagination, lure by invitation? Do you know? Do you care? I so hope to God you care. What are you teaching? You know, the most destructive force, the most destructive force is not doctrine. It's mid to older women dressing inappropriately and acting inappropriately. He said that we ought to not fashion ourselves as the children of this world. Where do you get your fashion? Why don't you be the example instead of having to follow everybody else and being so weak? Well, let's move on. Subtle of heart. Look, she's subtle of heart, verse 10. Why, Eve, where did you learn to slip in on Adam and get him this stuff to eat? Where did you learn this, Eve? Where did you learn to be so snaky and so sneaky? Which of these Christian counseling psychology books did you read, Eve, on how to get your way? You know, if something's teaching you how to ask so that you'll get your way, have you ever thought that maybe there might be something a little bit serpentine about that thing? Subtle of heart. Subtle. Well, we gotta close. Quickly. Loud. Stubborn. Look, she's loud and stubborn. Her feet are not... Here's this. Ready? Loud, stubborn, independent, mysterious, roams. Do you know that God never intended these girls to be running around, even three or four girls together at night? That you think boys get up to mischief when they're put together? You take one boy and another boy and put them together and you have four boys mischief, not two. And you take four girls and put them together and you got four girls foolishness? No, you probably got about 8 or 10. Now listen, this 21st century woman is not the example of a Bible chaste woman. It's the example we find right here. She's without, in the streets, lieth in wait at every corner. Is this a devotion? Yeah, it is. It's to Jesus Christ's glory. Trust me. Listen, what I'm saying here was taught in girls' schools with no Bible 50 and 80 and 100 years ago. What is this about? This is about... Now listen, there is a Christianity. I'm going to add a minute to this one. There is a Christianity that is loud and stubborn and doesn't abide in the house of God. And there is a Christianity that is impudent, etc. And that Christianity is not the Roman Catholic Christianity, the mother of harlots, but it is having the same effect. In fact, it calls itself, you know, evangelical and conservative, but it is elusive. It is subtle of heart. It is teaching people to set aside restraint. May God bless you today. Thank you. Bye.